Democrats, MAGA hats, and Rob Rogers.
Woo! Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for March 4th, 2019. I'm Janine Faddish, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me! That's it. That's what exciting is. We are joined. We don't have guests on this show very often. Mostly because I just want it all to be about me.
And there's no room in here for the guests.
It's a very small podcast space. For those of you who don't know. Yes.
Real estate term.
Or intimate.
Intimate.
That works. It's
intimate.
That.
Okay. Anyway, so we are joined by a very special guest. You've read about him in the news. You've seen him. If you haven't paid for the Patreon that you need to sign up for, then you need to do it right now. Just pause this podcast and go to robrogers.com. Rob Rogers, thanks for coming in.
I'm happy to be here, Scott. Thank you. And Janine, thank you.
And walking over here, Rob says, you know, I'm only staying here because of the podcast. Thank you.
I think.
So we're just going to run through a few things. You actually educated yourself on the doings in Prickly City for the last couple of months.
Yeah. It's been exciting. I especially like Sean. He's a great character.
The MAGA wearing dinosaur.
Yeah.
MAGA wearing hat.
Which is actually an insult to dinosaurs.
Yeah,
but
well. What are they going to do?
But no, I love that character.
Oh, thanks. We're going to talk about Rob's situation. For those of you unaware, he got completely and utterly, screwed. Is that right, technically?
Yes, I was, for 25 years, I was the editorial cartoonist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And as of recently, in the last couple of years, the publisher decided that, you know, despite it being a liberal paper for the entirety of its history that I knew it, he decided that he liked Trump and he just wanted to insert his beliefs on the editorial page, which he had pretty much not done up to that point to the degree that he was going to do. But so that was sort of the beginning of the end. And then he eventually.
Do you have any idea what triggered that? Why? I mean, you can't get into his head, so we can't presume to know the mind of the wicked. But
if you could answer the question as to how Donald Trump won the presidency, then maybe you could get into the mind of John Block, I guess.
We wake up to, I mentioned this before, we wake up to the news in the morning, and every time, still 2 years into the administration, I hear, and today Donald Trump, and I go, wait.
No, President Trump. Is
or today the Trump administration. I go, oh, hell, that really happened? Oh, my God. Okay.
It wasn't a dream.
Or a nightmare. Yeah, I just keep slapping myself, which Janine doesn't make me stop. So we'll talk some more about that, but we want to go through some of the comments from our from the folks who go to gocomics.com/prickly city.
So Carmen was running for president, and Ignat says, I would love to see some sensible, decent Republican candidate primary orange trash. He or she could win, too. The only reason Trump won in 2016 was because the field was so split, 17 candidates. So he won primary after primary with only about 30% of the vote, but got all the delegates anyway. He didn't get more than 50% in a primary until New York, which was the 38th primary held.
Yeah, he actually, there is going to be some opposition to him, potentially. Governor Roemweld, who many of you may know, I endorsed as vice president 4 years ago. He's talking seriously about running in the primaries just because somebody has to contest Donald Trump in the Republican Party. Will this have any legs? They just had CNN just had a poll, you know, there as we were running out of the building to come here. And Republicans, 88% of Republicans support him. 60% of rural voters. I mean, this is going to be hard. I mean, this isn't going to be easy.
Yeah, I don't think Trump is going to face much of a challenge unless things change with some of the investigations and the tide turns on him.
Do you think
somehow
that's overreach? The Democrats have announced, I think, 81 subpoenas they're issuing for obstruction, mm-hmm. looking into obstruction. And you saw the list of people. It's everybody. You know, it's I think you're on it.
probably. No, I think if you look at what happened when the Republicans were in charge and Devin Nunes and you know, didn't do anything really and just let him off scot-free,
you
mean using your name in vain? But I think that, you know, it's no wonder that they want to go back and redo this in an appropriate way. So I don't think it's overreach to investigate some of the things he's done. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, all, you know, when they talk about a witch hunt, most witch hunts don't you know, generate 32 indictments or whatever it is now.
And how many convictions now? 8 convictions, I think it is.
Yeah, and those are real. Those are real crimes. It's not a witch hunt.
Yeah. It could fall into the category of overreach if it truly does become overreach. Here's one of the things, another issue that I'm going to write about, which no one cares about, but I do, and it's the trade deal with China. It looks like they're very close to having a deal, and if it's a serious deal and it has protections of intellectual property and gets rid of their tariffs and we drop ours, this economy is going to just heat up like crazy. It might not be for long, but it's going to be until at least the election. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. How do you run against that? You know, yeah, sure, we have a crazy guy who leans towards fascism, but by gum,
but boy, the economy is great.
Yeah, I have a job and gas is a buck and a half a gallon.
Unfortunately, that's often what most people care about.
Yeah, so it's going to be the next 2 months are really going to tell the tale. Don't forget the Democrats. Did you know this? Are going to have their first debate, presidential debate in June. I'm not making this up. Janine can back me up on this.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know the date was set.
And it looks like it's going to last because there are going to be so many candidates. It's going to last 3 days. I'm serious. It's going to be 3 different debates, 3 different days. Other than dorks like me, who the hell's going to watch that? Really? So what other? I'm sorry. We kind of went off on a tangent. And what we have comments?
Well, discussing all the candidates that they had in 2016, someone asked, several people asked, do you think the Democrats will have the same problem this time because they have such a large field?
Yeah.
And Rarab 43 says, who's the most far left candidate? Bernie? He's nowhere near the left wing equivalent of Trump.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. There's no candidate. I don't think there's a breakout candidate. Do you agree with that? You're obviously a Democrat. So.
Yeah, I mean, I support. I would support any Democratic nominee.
Or
obviously.
Lawn furniture. Seriously.
Yeah, I would support a cactus that was running against Trump. But right now it's too soon. It's too early. I do like the. I think we talked about this. I like the. Pete, I can't remember how to pronounce his last name, but the mayor from
West Bend, right?
From
East Bend?
South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah, that was one of them.
He would be the first gay presidential candidate outwardly gay, whatever the
openly gay.
Openly gay. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. We're old. We forget words and where we left our keys. And pants. So, yes, to answer the question, yeah, I think the field is really crowded right now. Hickenlooper announced today. This changes daily. How many? And I think it takes that up to 18 candidates.
Yeah,
announced candidates.
Right,
not Biden
and the other people who are considering, running.
So, Walter Cocker says, I am supremely confident the DNC will once again field a totally unelectable schmuck, and we will have yet another dreadful 4 years of the orange obesity until the world views us as totally irrelevant.
Well, we'll be irrelevant. We have the most guns and all the money, so we're pretty damn relevant. I mean, that's the problem. I the world, how they view us, well, if you're a dictator, you love us, because Kim, Putin, Xi from China, I mean... They think we're the best.
Because Trump thinks they're the best.
Yeah. Well, he knows all the best dictators. Let's be honest.
He does.
So, man.
He coddles all the best dictators.
Yes. I totally believe him. What about the U.S. press? Lying, fake news. Oh, my God. Go to hell. I'm back. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
So a few people had an issue with your MAGA hat cartoon in which you mentioned that someone asked Carmen, did anyone put the MAGA hat slug you yet? And people like Love Landelay says, lies. People get punched for wearing a MAGA hat. And Frosty 12 Oaks. It says, wondering if Mr. Stantis has been punched in the face by a MAGA-wearing supporter. Seems to be a stereotypical statement so as to be part of the cool crowd. Are you part of the cool crowd now, Scott?
Oh, yeah, I'm down with the cool. That's from one of the cool kids.
Well, I would ask both of those readers, which candidate for president actually sanctioned punching people? And that would be the guy who invented the MAGA hat. So I don't think you're far off. I mean, I think that's right. Yes, some... some people now, because of the backlash, are getting ridiculed for. I have not heard of a story where someone was punched.
Yeah, there's a guy who was actually charged, and I can't. I'd have to go back and look. It's a video of the guy. And he punches this guy in a MAGA cap. But
yeah.
So that's
that
true.
Could have just been about, you know, anything.
Maybe, yeah.
He just happened to be wearing the MAGA cap.
They were yelling about the MAGA cap. So I'm not, both sides have lost their minds on a lot of these issues. And in terms of the passion, and one side has to step forward and be the grown-up. And one of the things about being a grown-up is not punching people.
Yeah.
So the strip, by the way, the strip was 2.5 weeks old. So things always, news breaks quickly, these parts. A lot of times it's wrong. So
even for dinosaurs.
Even for dinosaurs. But yeah, I mean, but I hold to the idea that, yeah, there's one candidate, as Rob mentioned, that has advocated violence against people, against the press, against opposition. I mean, so, you know, it's.
That's a candidate of the religious right.
Amen. Yeah. I don't, you know.
Because Jesus says, yeah, slug people.
Yeah.
And people less than you, ridicule them. Yeah. And people in need, they don't deserve attention.
Well, it's their own fault, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, just go to your dad and ask for $6 million loan to get your business off the ground. It reminds me, there's a great, it's a really mediocre film, but it's a funny, one of my favorite scenes of all time, and no one remembers it from, it's called Inc., I-N-C. It was during the 80s, and I think Judd Reinhold?
Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
Oh, yeah.
And Eddie Albert runs this massive defense contracting firm, and they're flying, he's in the helicopter, and he's talking to a reporter saying, when I came to this town, I only had $60 million in my pocket. Now look at me. It reminds me of Trump's backstory and the hard scrabble life of Donald J. Trump. Anything else we got to?
Well, I think we'll finish with this one. P. Scherer says, the GOP was once my last slimmest hope for defending capitalism in America. Weak as that hope was, it sustained me for decades. But since the GOP became the party of Trump, I fear for America, regardless of what party is in power.
I agree. Now, who did he think was the
GOP.
The GOP. There was a bulwark against for free markets and low taxes in a reasonable, conscientious way. And now it's like we're just going to give tax breaks to people. I mean, the middle class is—they're finding out now with their tax returns that they're not getting. They did get a significant tax break, by the way. It just didn't reflect itself in its.
Their paychecks.
I'm having a Rob moment here. I can't remember what's it called
your tax filing.
Yeah, no, tax return. Tax return.
Yeah,
thank you.
No, yeah. You're talking about people aren't getting their, what do you call it? Refund? The
rebate?
Yeah,
the there's refund.
Oh, three of us. Yes.
It takes three people to come up with one word.
Yeah, the tax refunds are much lower because of the tax bill, but during the course of the year, the people, middle class people, had a tax cut. So, you know, it does balance out. It's not quite as significant as people in the 1%, but they did, pardon me, they did get it. But, you know, when you have an administration that has tariffs, that has these kind of weird tax policies and also doesn't give two flips about the deficit spending, which we've just passed $22 trillion with a T dollars.
Yeah.
Excuse me, goodness. You know, that's to me not that's not fiscally responsible. It's not fiscally conservative in the small C definition of that word.
Right.
It's not being a grown up.
No, I think that's the thing that always surprises me about the Republicans. You know, they and you mentioned the religious right. But also the true conservatives in Congress and in the Senate. I mean, they say they're true conservatives, but they conveniently look away and say the deficit doesn't matter now that we have our president. But when Obama was in there, it was all the rage to say, you know, we can't be spending this money, you know, especially not on health care, especially not on the things, you know, immigration reform or whatever it is. And so I think it's just interesting how they conveniently forget about the deficit once they have their guy in power.
Yeah, well, they forget about a lot of things.
Well, and you can guarantee that when there's a Democrat president and he decides, oh, hey, I can have a state of emergency about guns.
Right.
That, you know, they're going to get upset about that. You can't do that. That's not constitutional.
Or health care.
Right, or health care.
Or climate change.
Yeah.
Green New Deal.
That's totally fake.
You should look at something and say, do I want the other party doing this? And if your answer is no, you don't want your party doing it either.
Well, that's things like with the judges, you know, how they and confirming the judges. Well, you know, the Democrats didn't confirm our judges. Yes. And that sucked, didn't it? So why would you do it, too? And it's like talking to a child. Nothing gets done. So I want to switch over to talking to Rob about where you're at now and where your life is now and what's the latest. I mean, again, for those of you who listen to this podcast, I know you know the Rob Rogers saga.
Oh, okay. So you've talked about it before then?
No, not really, but I'm sure they know. You want to give them just like a...
I'd like to just give myself a plug. If you listen to this podcast, you hear me playing guitar at the very beginning.
Yes. So I just wanted to mention that.
That's my music. Thank you.
And the checks keep rolling in.
The royalties are unbelievable, really.
They bought you dinner.
They did buy me dinner. That was nice. Thank you. But no, I mean, you know, one of the things that happened when I, you know, when I was losing my job is you know, the to me, the passion for doing what we do has always been there, and it was only grew stronger when I got fired, because I felt like, you know, they're trying to, you know, my publisher is trying to silence me, and I really don't want to be silenced.
Maybe it's not fair to listeners.
Yeah, you want me to talk about it? Okay, so
if you don't mind,
no, that's fine. Basically, what happened was. I think I mentioned earlier in the show that I was fired because I was drawing Donald Trump. And I had drawn five presidents before him, you know, starting with Reagan, and never had a problem, never had an editor say, hey, you can't do that. But he fell in love with Donald Trump early on. He had his picture taken on his plane with him when he was in Toledo. My publisher, yeah. And so, you know, then he started criticizing me for doing, you know, for being too hard on Trump. But I had always had total independence to do whatever I wanted, and they would kill one or two a year, and that was sort of the way we worked it out. You know, they appreciated that I was independent, and they let me go, and they liked that I was getting reprints everywhere, and you know, and I was winning some awards, and so it was a nice arrangement, and I brought a lot of local flavor to the paper. But then, in 2018 in March, they brought in a new editor to be my immediate boss, and he started killing the Trump cartoons right away. And I tried to work with him. I tried to sort of, you know, finesse a couple of the ideas to make them work, and they did get in. But then eventually he just started killing pretty much everything. So in the 3 months that he was my editor, I had 18 cartoons killed, and normally it would be one or two a year. And then that culminated with six in a row being killed right before they fired me. So it wasn't pretty. And I tried to talk to them all the way along to say, hey, put me on the op-ed page. You know, maybe we can work this out some other way. And they clearly wanted me out. So they made it kind of impossible for me.
Did they think they were scoring points with the administration? Did they? I'm still trying to figure out the motivation here, other than some psychotic man lust from block your publisher on Donald Trump.
There is no explanation in my mind. You'd have to ask him. But I think that, yes, I think that there was probably some fantasy about impressing Trump or getting an ambassadorship or something, I don't know, with the administration. But yeah, he decided that, you know, and he talked like he thought that Trump would really save, for instance, the steel jobs or the coal jobs, or bring back, you know, the blue collar workers to Toledo and Pittsburgh. And that was just ridiculous.
Well, your situation became an internet sensation, if I could sound as old as I am. But it did. I mean, it blew up all over the – it blew up. Yeah. And you've really landed in a pretty good place. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, I miss the structure that I had at the newspaper and the you know, even though it was the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, it did give you some credence with readers. You know, you were an employed staff cartoonist for a reputable newspaper. And so I missed that part. But yes, the fans have been great. I started a Patreon page. They immediately started to support me. I'm syndicated 3 times a week, so I still get to draw cartoons about the president and about other issues that I care about. And so, I have a new book out. It's called Enemy of the People, Cartoonist Journey. They can get it. If you go to my website, there's a link. So robrogers.com, there's a link to the IDW page that has it for sale. Now in the summer, it'll be in the bookstores, but right now it's just a limited pre-printing, and I'm doing signings in different places.
Now, you had a great moment the other night before you flew out here to Chicago and Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. So I had my book launch on Friday night, March 1st, and it went very well. There were hundreds of people showed up.
You had to turn people away, right?
Yeah, we had to eventually, you know, we closed off the ticketing, but about 300 people showed up, and they all lined up to get their books, and they waited hours in line. We realized later, oh, we should have pre-signed some for the people that couldn't wait around, you know. but what was great was just everybody came up and said, we miss you so much, and, you know, you really are a gem in Pittsburgh, and they were so wrong to do that. So it's nice to know that people understand. And I can't tell you how many people said, I canceled my subscription because they fired you. You know,
I've read that piece of crap paper, and frankly, really no reason to buy it. I don't want to be, I don't run there, do I? I was just thinking, does the comic strip run that? Oh, damn it. No, but no, it's you know, you mentioned it has lost, like a lot of papers, it's lost a lot of really quality people. And frankly, one of the few reasons to pick it up would have been your cartoons. And you also did a feature called Brood on Grant, which is a strictly Pittsburgh-centric feature.
Now, to be fair, they still have great journalists there who do really good investigative work and reporting on local issues and even some national issues. They cover the Tree of Life shooting like nobody else, and I think I have to say that that's the best part about the paper still, not the editorial page anymore.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. I think you are the best.
Thank you.
So, okay, so go to robrogers.com. What other, you're on social media, where can they find you?
I have a Twitter handle. It's I think it's Rob_Rogers. And
you
then,
think?
No, I'm pretty sure, yeah. @Rob_Rogers. And then if you just search for me on Facebook, you can follow me there as well.
Do you have a fan page there?
I haven't turned it into a fan page, but at this point, you can follow anybody. So I have that turned on, so you can follow me.
Go to robrogers.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for stopping by, man.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. Yeah. Better days. Better days.
Go, Sean.
That about wraps it up for this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, please do so. Go to gocomics.com/Prickly City and sign up. It's free. You can't be free. You can subscribe to Prickly City and Rob Rogers cartoons.
Yeah.
And they're emailed to you every morning, hot, piping fresh off the presses. Yeah, you can't do better than free. So do that. And you can get my editorial cartoons too. Might as well throw that in there. But anyway, so gocomics.com/Prickly City. Leave us a comment. Maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. Or if you want to contact us directly, please do so at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. Thank you, Janine. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Brian Altimer, our wonderful producer, and WGN for putting up with us and putting up the podcast. And thank you most of all for listening to this podcast. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.